You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hey, it's Mae Whitman, and I play Frankie in the new Realm podcast, The Sisters. The Sisters is about a museum curator of medical oddities who investigates the origins of a mutated skeleton with two layers of bones. Soon, she uncovers an extraordinary mystery that connects her present with one family's tragic past in hauntingly dangerous ways. Listen to The Sisters wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, yeah, you can just ask me to do something, you know, I can do it. Or if it's something stressing me out, just, you know, feel free to ask. And, you know, I've been, you know, guilty of it in, you know, past relationships of not asking direct questions of people. And it's just like, oh, this is, and it, when it works out and when it happens, it's the best feeling.
I've come to realize I always postpone or like delay recording the intro outro to every episode, and it always puts me off track. I've literally, and it's because I think about it too much, right? It's like, this is it. This is what's going to hook them. And it's like, I don't think that's true, but that's what my mind likes to say, right? I have deleted and started over, I think, 5 times now. And I'm not going to lie, guys, I am 8 minutes away from having to clock into work. So I'm really just, you know, on a limit. And am I in clothes? No, I am not. I just got out of the shower. I am fully toweled, still should lotion. Will I have time? We'll find out. We will find out. But I do this every time. And I was like, why don't I just record right after? I will say I don't record right after the episode because the episode is downloading and my computer is old, so it makes like really loud noises, so I have to wait. But I could also do it right after it's done downloading. And that's just a little fun peek into my brain on this probably Wednesday morning, evening, afternoon that you're listening. I hope you guys are good. I hope weather's starting to warm up for you if that's what you want. I hope it's not if that's not what you want. I hope everyone's getting exactly what they want at this time in their life. And what they need. This week, this episode, I had on Matt Storrs, such a great storyteller, such a great comedian. We talk lots of things. We talk new relationships. We talk animals in the relationships. We talk about communication. It's a fun time. It's a good ride. And I think you are going to enjoy it, like every episode. I say that every time. I will say it is very fun to just have like my full vag out while I record, especially now that I put out videos like trailers, but I will be clothed in the trailers, I do promise. But yeah, just letting her breathe down there, just having a good time. If you are in New York City, you should absolutely go see Matt at his solo show, No Bones About It, at Under St. Mark's. It starts April 8th. I think you're gonna have a good time. That's what I say every time. But honestly, I do think you're going to have a good time. Like, I'm not lying. And then if you can't come to a solo show, you just check out his podcast, Mattsplaining, where, yeah, Matt explains things. And yeah, go like, rate, review, listen, download, enjoy. And I'll see you on the other side. How long have you had your dog?
I have had him since 2016.
Oh, wow. Yeah. No longer a baby. What's his name or her name?
His name is Cam. That's the short name. But his full name is Commandant Cameron Quincy Camembert. Secretary of Dog Warfare.
Oh, that's a big one. Where'd that come from?
So I have this naming convention held over from my childhood where we felt, or maybe it was just me, I don't know. I don't know how it really developed, but that all animals in our household should have like stately titles because both my parents were lawyers. And so like they were esquires, you know? Mm-hmm. And so we're like, well, who's to say our dogs and cats can't have formal titles too? And so like, we had, my first dog was the Honorable Jules Putter. Our Honorable Mr. Jules Putter, I don't remember. I was very young. And my brothers may or may not have been engaging in illicit activities. That were like, oh, hey, this would be a very fun word to name a dog. But yeah, so that just kind of developed. And then, you know, as I aged, I got cats, I got dogs, and every single one of them had to have a title.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
I have found that animal names can be very polarizing. Like I grew up, my mom worked at PetSmart, so we had all these animals all the time. And our animals always had to have like a human name and also had middle names, where my husband's like, no animal should have a human name. Like it should be like Ruffles or like Pebbles or some shit. And I was like, absolutely not. Like it has to be a human name.
Yeah. I mean, I think you can do a mix of it. Like, you know, with Cam, my mentality, the only thing I knew before meeting him was that I wanted to name him after cheese. Mm-hmm. And you know, there was a dog breeding facility in Phoenix where I was living at the time that had been, you know, raided by the police and or Animal Welfare League or whatever it was, probably police. And so the story that I was told was that he was running through the desert after having been, you know, in like a cage or whatever. And so I'm like, oh, you know, and so I'm like, well, I have to take him home now. And then, you know, the name just kind of stuck and it was like, oh, well, his name is Camembert, but it's like, it can work both ways of like, he has, you know, a regular human name of, you know, Cam and, you know, of like Cameron, you know, a lot of people will call him Cameron, but, you know, I know, you know, if I say Camembert, he's like, oh no, like what's going on?
Oh yeah.
So I think, you know, I think having it, you know, kind of a name that can work either way is a good way to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Give them the choice, you know, how are they like identify is always a good way to do it. Have you ever dated someone that's like not been okay with you having an animal?
Yeah. So actually, you know, one of the things that for my, you know, yeah, I'd say several.
Okay.
Yeah. So basically, you know, Cam's got a number of like medical issues and stuff like that. He ate a nectarine pit when he was really young. Mm. And so like that caused him to have surgery and stuff like that. So like he's really susceptible to getting like infections, skin infections and stuff like that because his immune system's compromised. Mm-hmm. And so that means like, especially when it's like really cold out or really wet out, I can't really walk him. Because he'll get an infection, he'll smell bad. And so, a lot of times during that time, you know, I was living in like a one bedroom, you know, the one bedroom / studios that, you know, people sell.
Like a junior suite situation.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, I would have to put, you know, puppy pads down and everything like that. And it's like, oh, that's, you know, that's not ideal. And that does not facilitate romance. And so, and then, you know, on top of that, you know, so I, you know, would insist, you know, him going out of the bedroom and, you know, I'll turn on some, you know, calming dog music for him and everything like that. And after a couple minutes, you know, he'll quiet down of, you know, barking and what have you. But then at the same time, like that, you know, it's hard to get in the mood. When there's a dog yapping and like scratching at the door and being like, yeah, you know, like I was really, you know, I wouldn't ever really say that I was smooth on any of these dates, but on multiple occasions, they were just like, yeah, this is not fully what I was expecting with this experience. But, you know, it ultimately worked out fairly well. you know, Cam would win them over, especially if they stayed over during the night. He would always try and snuggle in, you know, grasp their warmth as much as possible. And so, like, in that respect, he helped me a lot. But, you know, some of the the initial connections, he definitely disrupted.
Aiken, like, this actually reminded me of something that I, like, I was kind of like on the other side of that. Like, I am a very, like, animal-friendly type of person. Totally get it. There's going to be smells. There's going to be puppy pads. But I was like sort of talking to this dude right after like a really bad breakup. And I thought this guy was going to be like my next like boyfriend, like not like rebound. We were talking a lot and I would say his dog was kind of his personality. And I don't mean that right. like in a mean way, but it was a very, 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 very big part of his life, which I totally respected. And the dog was older and also like blind. So dog was also kind of like on its last legs, unfortunately, but I think the dog lived like a very long time because he loved that dog so, so much.
Right.
And so we finally like go out on a date and like go to his apartment and meet the dog like IRL. And it was like, great. And we go to, have sex. And he puts the dog like on the bed. And I was like, can we like move the dog? Like, I don't want to like hit him. Like, he's old. That would kind of be like a far way for him to fall. And the guy was like, it doesn't matter. Like, he can't see. And I was like, that's not the right answer. Like, no. And we did have sex. I think he did move the dog. We did have sex. It was,
thank God.
I think for both of us, like, not good. Like, I think I didn't give him what he wanted. I didn't get what I needed from him. So we like never talked about it like ever again and like just like stopped talking. But the dog, I think, was a big part of being like, oh, I don't think I'm the right fit. Cause I do need the dog on the floor for this. Like I just do.
Yeah, that is, the worst I had was like, I have very strong legs. So one of the moves that I would do is I would have like, if somebody was like straddling me or something like that, making out on my couch that was far too small, I would just stand up and they would, naturally be like, oh no, like what's going on? And like latch on. Mm-hmm. And then I would carry them to my bed. And, it surprised some people that I was capable of doing that. So I would, drop them onto my bed and, romances in the air. But then the thing is, more often than not, I would drop them and they would hit their head on a dog toy that was wrapped up in covers. And I'm like, hey, sorry. So like, we'll get those out of the bed. I'm real sorry. I didn't know that they were there. Never had the dog in the bed, thankfully. Have had cats that you can't stop them, no dogs in the bed, definitely not for that.
Yeah, and in a way I almost respect a cat in the bed a little bit more. It's like, yeah, okay, you're claiming your territory, understood, but it's like I feel like they're also a little bit more savvy about it, of like, we can be copacetic, we can be like, we can exist together in this situation where a dog is going to get like all in it. This is not my story, but I did have a girl on the show years ago where it was the same thing with a dog. Dog on the bed, dog licked her butthole like, oh no, during it. Yeah, so it was like, oh no, no, no.
Oh yeah. Oh, there's so much you'd have to unpack there. Yeah. Oh my goodness. The one positive there, I will say, is that the dog has accepted you into the pack, which is, that's a real good facilitator for what the dog thinks is going to be a success in the relationship. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, no, thank you.
It was such a weird show too, because like a lot of times for the live show, there will be a theme out of nowhere, and that theme was like animals in the bedroom.
Oh,
it was
crazy.
And it was like the first time that ever happened on the show where people were talking about like animals somehow being in the mix. And now I always, anytime I see someone with a dog or a couple with a dog, I'm just like, where does the dog go when you guys fuck? Like, how do they participate if they do.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, one thing with me and my partner now that we're dealing with is, you know, so Cam didn't get tons of socialization when he was young, you know, because of the situation in the desert and all, well, in the breeding place and all that. And so I was like, oh, you know, let's get some training. And my partner has a dog as well. And so, you know, that getting them comfortable with one another and then like what happens if we're going to do something. And so we had the trainer come over because, you know, both dogs would get anxious with us getting in bed and like, you know, sleep time and like waking us up and all these things. And so, you know, we have the trainer over and she, you know, she's an absolute delight, like super knowledgeable. And, you know, we articulate this concern over, you know, and, you know, using euphemistic dynamics, like, you know, this is what is uncomfortable about, you know, when we're in bed and like, you know, try making it seem as much about sleep, you know, and it is about sleep, but also about, you know, sex as well. And so they get, we get to a situation where we're in our bedroom and we're both laying down in bed and she's like, okay, well, yeah, just do whatever you guys would normally do now. And I'm like, well, to what extent?
Yeah.
Because like, I don't, I think that there's some euphemisms and, you know, some lack of clarity with our comfort level in our relationship to where I don't think this is how, like, it's not how I would expect to bring a third into the relationship, you know, through our mutual love of dogs. But, you know, ultimately all of the tips that she provided were very, very useful, you know? And so, but yeah, that initial info and advice session was a little awkward.
Oh my God. I can't even imagine. I'm glad that it worked though. I'm glad that it's in a better spot. So you're with a partner and they have a dog as well. Do you guys live together?
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
Oh, amazing. How long have you guys been together?
We have been together since September of 2022. Yes. Yeah. So just about like a year and a half.
So you guys got the last, the last helicopter out of Saigon? Because I'm hearing, I've been hearing for the past year and a half that it's been really, really, really bad dating. Like it was like 2020, people got their shit together. And then 2021, I was like, oh, actually people did not get their shit together and maybe got worse.
Yeah. I mean, and also, you know, at the time, you know, I was, you know, on dating applications and such. And, you know, I'm actually writing a Substack about this today, but about my like opening lines on any of them. And luckily, you know, with my partner, we didn't meet on an app or anything like that. We met through mutual friends, which was really great. And we also met at the Times Square Margaritaville, which I think is just a 100% conducive to lasting love. Because we met at a mutual friend's birthday party and I had brought a bunch of Hawaiian shirts with an insistence that like, oh, if we're at Margaritaville, we have to play to the dynamic of Margaritaville. Oh, you have to put one on. And they were the only person to take me up on it and put one on. And so it was like immediate flirtation and just like, oh yeah, something's working here. Yeah. So it's been great ever since.
I love that. I love Margaritaville.
It's the best.
If you don't know, you can go on like resortpass.com or something and you can reserve the like the chairs for the pool.
Oh, yeah. So that day, it was before Margaritaville had signed up for Resort Pass. And so they were still handling everything in-house. So it was the day passes were only $20. And our friend had bought a bunch of them and like I had hesitated to do it whether or not I was going to go. And so I went and they were really insistent like, oh yeah, you're not going to be able to sneak in. You're not going to be able to sneak in. And then I just went up to the hostess for the pool area and I was like, hey, my friends are out there. I promise not to get in the pool. I'll keep my jeans on. Can I hang out? And they're like, oh yeah, go right ahead. It's a delight. I have spent so much time at the Times Square Margaritaville. It's possibly the best place in New York, if not the best. It's definitely in the top like two.
It is a magical place. And if no one's ever been, I highly recommend, because if you've ever been to Times Square, you know it's like expensive as fuck. Like it's everything's mm-hmm. going to be like mad upcharge. But so we were like, okay, we're expecting to drop X amount. We're staying the whole day. We're like, we're going to drop this amount. It'll be totally fine. We were splurging. But because they use his liquor, everything is so much cheaper. It was like a margarita. Right. A good margarita was like $11, where anywhere else in Times Square, it would have been like $22.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. And like, I've gone to Margaritaville, but my last two birthdays under different circumstances. Well, one was like, oh, I'll have dinner at Margaritaville with like 20 people, which is the most confusing thing that people have ever, the servers had ever dealt with, based on how it worked out. But that was a lot of fun. And then the last year, I decided to do a bar crawl through Margaritaville to all of the bars. And that was just an absolute delight. And, you know, just pure stupidity, meeting people on every floor, met a woman. And my friend Sarah talked to, like, came to my party, said hi to me, and then sat at the bar trying to answer or trying to order a drink, and then just proceeded to talk to this very drunk woman and tried to convince her not to drive home to Connecticut. Trying to convince her not to drive home to Connecticut after she picked up her kids from like Sweeney Todd or something like that. And mm-hmm. we're like, do not do it. She's like, it's going to be fine. I'm just going to let my daughter drive till we're out of the city and then I'll take over. And I'm like, no, you are so housed. You have been in the brief period that we've been here. You've had like three margaritas. You're not going to be sober by then. So as far as I know, it was fine. And we tried to get her to get a hotel room in Margaritaville so she could sober up. Some people say she's still there. So,
oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's amazing. I'm always so surprised too. Like, I know we're spoiled in New York City. Like, drinking and driving is nothing that we ever have to really think about, because it's like, you've got Ubers, you've got Lyfts, you've got taxis, you've got the train, or you can like walk, like depending on like where you're at. And so anytime I'm out of the city and I like, and my friend's like, yeah, I only had four, I'm good to drive. And I'm just like, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah,
like,
how?
What? No. But it is just so a part of like suburb culture of like, no, absolutely. Yeah, this is my limit and this is okay. And it's just like, no, this is not. But then I'll be in the suburbs and I'll be like, I guess this is okay. I just don't even drive anymore. It's been like, I have a license, but like, I've gotten too used to being driven around that I'm like, I don't want that fucking responsibility.
Oh,
but
yeah.
not to go dark into like drinking and driving, but you mentioned like talking about your opening lines for the apps. I would love to hear about these.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So my opening line typically was, you know, after trial and error and everything like that, or unless there was something that was really specific on their profile, I would always ask, you know, if you could steal any work of art and get away with it, what would you steal and why? And the answers that I got for that, like, would just filter out people so, so quickly. And, you know, on more than one occasion, I will admit that, like, I went on dates with people that, like, answered it incorrectly. But I'm like, well, they're into me. And it, like, not necessarily, they answered it correctly for themselves, but, like, incorrectly for what I was wanting out of it. Mm-hmm. Because ultimately my goal with that was, you know, this person's going to talk about their favorite work of art or, you know, favorite style of art. And then we're going to kind of banter and like joke around the idea of like how we would steal it from the Met. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then we can go to the Met and go see that thing if it's there. And then, you know, joke, you know, continue the joke, continue the bit and, you know, have a good time. But some people would be like, well, I don't want to steal anything because I don't know a fence to sell it. And it's like, no, that's not the point of the game. Mm-hmm. And then ultimately, you know, some people, you know, would provide like, oh, this is the style of art I would want. And, you know, but wouldn't have anything specific. Or, you know, the worst case was like, oh, I don't really go to museums. And so then it would be like, okay, well, this isn't gonna, you know, this probably won't work out too well. But the most memorable circumstance was I actually matched with a art professor at one of the, you know, I don't know if it was NYU or CUNY or whatever it was. But, you know, they had an amazing answer and just so insightful. And like their reasoning was so sound. They actually talked about the security systems at various museums and like, oh yeah, so like we probably could get around like this level of the security because, you know, I'm a professor. And I'm like, oh wow, that's amazing. Like this, like, I don't like, this is a bit, but I'm thinking about stealing this art now, you know?
Yeah, like I'm so turned on right now.
Yeah, this is great. Like, this is going to be so fun. And so then we made a plan to go to the Whitney for the biennial. And, you know, this is back in 2022, probably. Yeah, that sounds about right. And so then the day of, you know, I would do the initial message of like, okay, yeah, I'll see you there at one or whatever it was. And then I go, I'm like, oh, well, if I'm going to the Whitney, I'm going to walk down the High Line. I'm going to, you know, go and run an errand or whatever. So I go and I get my phone replaced and like get everything transferred over. And so in that like hour or so that it takes for that to get transferred over, I, when I go back on and I go back into the app, they have unmatched me. And like, and literally as I'm walking to the date and I'm like, well, that's just, what do you do? Like, it was so good. And like the banter was so good. We were so on point with everything, had specific plans, had confirmed that we were going to be there at one. And so then I was like, what do I do? Do I go home or whatever? And I still went to the Whitney and just like walked around and tried to find anything that I really liked. And I found several things. Like there's, you know, those drinking birds, mm-hmm. you know, that like dip into the water and pull back up. There was a giant one of those. Oh, and I was cool. Like, this is, yeah, I'm like, this is so cool. Like, this is amazing. I went up to the docent and I'm like, can we actually, does it actually tip over? Can we get some water? And he's like, that's not the point of it. And I'm like, no, but like, it would be so cool if it did. And so ultimately I'm really happy that I went and I try to go every year now, but yeah, it was just so weird. And like the reasoning behind, and I can't, you know, I don't know, mm-hmm. you know, and never really met, hadn't looked this person up on anything or anything like that. And so like, I have no idea, like my presumption is that they messaged me during that time, you know, that I was getting my phone updated and either, you know, they had to cancel or, you know, whatever justification they had. But yeah, it was just so confusing, you know, to like literally go from like, oh, I've updated my phone. I'll have a fun little story to share about how weird the phone guy was. And then it's like, oh, well, never mind. I don't have the data anymore.
That sucks so yeah. hard. And I will say, so I was on the apps, but I never went out on a date. I would always use the people, and I'm fully aware of how fucked up this is, to flirt and to kind of start feeling better about myself, because in the mm-hmm. past relationship, this person just made me feel like such shit every way possible. Mm-hmm. So I came out of it very, very fragile and raw and was like, okay, I need to like figure out like who I am again a little bit when it comes to like mm-hmm. sex and dating and relationships. And so I do remember there was one guy that I was like, okay, I think this will be my first date. We definitely vibe. We definitely talked for a little while. And I was, this is so long ago. This is back like in 2014 and mm-hmm. no, 2015. And I was also at that time putting on like a massive conference. This other person put together the Women and Comedy Conference. We only did it once.
Cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. I was actually just talking about it yesterday. It was really cool. It was a really huge endeavor. And I think for our first year, we did a good job, but we kind of afterwards, we went into the red. So we kind of just dropped. And I also don't think we were the best partners to do this together with. Mm-hmm. So things kind of fell apart, which is totally fine. So I remember him being like, okay, I can't wait to go out on a date after the conference. Because I was like, hey, like I don't have the capacity to like go on a date with you until this is done. So it was like, after this is done this weekend, it'll be done, then we can go on a date. And a couple days before that, I met my now husband.
Oh,
at a
wow.
comedy show. Yeah. And so I met him at a, we'd actually kind of met before like briefly, and I was like, I don't care about this guy. And then we re-met at this comedy show that I almost canceled on because I was like, I'm so overwhelmed with the conference. I don't know if I have time to perform, but I was like, fuck it. It's too late to cancel. Like, let's just go. And then re-meet him there. And we really hit it off. And I remember him being like, yeah, after like, let me get your number so I can like set up a date for after the conference that you're just told me about. Cause they invited me to like a party that weekend. I was like, I literally can't, like, I have this,
right.
This like 3-day conference that I'm literally curating. And then I just completely ghosted the app dude. I didn't even give him a reason. I was just kind of like, no, I don't think that's going to work out. Like, I want to try this person first. And I was such a pussy. I never gave any reasons. I would just ghost or unmatch or just like fully disappear. And it was never okay. And it could have been something like that with this person as well, of just like, they weren't as ready as they thought they were. And then right. It just became too late to give that type of answer. So I feel like people are getting better about that type of shit, but I don't know.
Yeah. And I mean, ultimately, like, I'm a firm believer in the idea of like mutual ghosting. Mm-hmm. And, mm-hmm. you know, so like I've had, you know, I've been guilty of it where, you know, I've gone on first day. Usually if I've gone on 2 dates, I'll, you know, say something. But like if I go on 1 date with somebody and it's like, oh, you know, neither one of us, you know, we don't end it with like making plans or like tentative things to hang out again. And then, you know, there's not that pull and compulsion. Like, we know how we felt, you know what I mean? We mm-hmm. don't have to say like, hey, you're not the right fit for me. And, but like, if, and I've had the situation where it's like, oh, I felt like I was interested in somebody and, you know, they, you know, and I reached out and they're like, oh, hey, no, sorry, I'm not really interested. Okay, cool. You know, that's totally great. But like, there's been plenty of first dates where it's just like, okay, this definitely, we're not vibing and we're being polite. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, oh yeah, we both don't say anything to one another again. And that's totally... like, and that's fine. I'm totally fine with that. I once dated a like a pastor.
Oh shit!
And yeah, and that led to one of my favorite things because we went on like 3 dates, and it was very. I had a time when I was in 2022 when I was most recently dating. I could categorize the people that I was dating like at various points when I was single. So like earlier, like in 2015, 2016, when I was single, it was like, I was matching a lot with like kindergarten teachers and like nurses, like people that could like take care of me. And
it's,
I was like,
kind of like super sweet somehow.
Yeah.
It's like a little problematic, not problematic, but like, don't want someone to take care of you, but like, I got you.
Yeah.
All right,
go on. I was going through a lot, you know?
Yeah.
And
no judgment.
Yeah. And and I was also clearly giving up that vibe. And so then this most recent time when I was dating, I was like, oh, I've grown as a person, and there's a clear indication that I've grown because yes, I'm matching with, you know, teachers, kindergarten teachers and all that, and like nurses, but now doctors and like pastors and and like professors and, you know, these sorts of things, you know, people from various walks of life. And so with this pastor, we went on like 3 dates. And oh, the other thing that I realized was that most of the people that I was meeting and matching with were like people that relatively recently moved to New York. Because one of the things that I had in my profile was that one of my favorite things was to give fake tours of the city and just like make stuff up as mm-hmm. I walked around. And so I think that kind of, you know, kind of attracted people that were recent transplants. And so with this pastor, we went on like 3 dates, and like ultimately it was like, okay, we're both attracted to one another, but, you know, still, you know, it's not, you were not, the cylinders aren't firing. Mm-hmm. And so we ultimately, ghosted one another, but I was like, oh, you know, I've been touched by the Holy Spirit because a pastor ghosted me. And, so I like would go around telling people that, and like, yeah, Matt, you need to get a better story, like a new story. Like, you've been go on another date, go somewhere, 'cause you've been telling that story for 3 weeks. but they were an absolute delight. They were very kind.
Oh, well, I'm sad. I always guess I'm sort of like anti-religion. So I'm always like, oh, they probably sucked. Like they probably.
Oh yeah. I mean, they're, you know, from what I recall of their politics and their dynamics, I do know that we went to the little island on a date and mm-hmm. like, I had conflated going to, I had gone to the little island when like somebody had, I don't know if it was the people that organized it or like an artist or something had hidden a bunch of stuff in it. And so I was like, oh, this is how the little island is. There's a bunch of little things hidden all around. I'll, you know, point out all of these things that are hidden around the little island. And it did not, those things were not there anymore. So it was like, okay, so, it must have been a thing. And they're like, did you just make it up to like make it seem more enticing? And I'm like, no, like this was a thing, like that, like there was a weekend where things were here. And they're like, I don't know if that's true. And I'm like, yeah, it, you know, the sometimes the willingness to steal art and make plans to steal art and to say that, yeah, I'm just going to make things up as I walk around the city. Mm-hmm. did predispose me to like people doubting what I was doing and whether or not I was being truthful and everything, but it was fine.
It opened the door, you know.
Exactly. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm trying to think back to like opening lines when I was on the apps, and I don't think there were any good ones. I think it was just kind of like, what's up? And I was like, right, all right, exactly. I'll bite. Like, sure, why not? I also never did well on the apps, and I was always kind of surprised. I was like, I feel mm-hmm. like I'm a catch mm-hmm. for this. But I never really fully committed, I think, to right. also to my profile and taking it seriously. Because I think in my heart of hearts, I knew this wasn't going to work for me just because of like, the type of person I am. And in that, I don't trust people. So I need to meet them IRL first. Like, I think online dating is a really great tool that is unfortunately sometimes abused as well, like and not taken seriously. So that's why it's so hard for people. But and I totally abused it. Like, I was that type of person. But especially with the new ones too, with like, I feel like Field is like a really good one.
Oh yeah.
And I love like also like the spectrum of like you go as far as like Field and like that genre, and then you've got like Coffee Meets Bagel. And you're just like,
absolutely.
Very different energies that you're going to attract.
Absolutely. And my favorite thing too is that, you know, if you leave the country and, you know, different apps have different expectations and predispositions in other countries. So like, I was in Scotland back in August and people were like,
Do French?
I did. Yeah. And yeah. And so, you know, I wasn't, you know, dating or anything at the time. I wasn't on the apps at the time. Mm-hmm, and, so everybody was talking about like, Tinder is so much different here. Like mm-hmm. people actually use it seriously. It's not just for hookups. Mm. And like it changes when all of these Americans come in and all these people come into the city, but how it's normally used here is completely different. And I'm like, I wonder how that works in all these different countries. Of, you know, how the apps are, you know, our predisposition of like, oh yeah, it's going to be used just for hookups, and then it's like completely different. But then also with Field, I had, you know, joined that in New York, mm-hmm. and you know, had, you know, was apprehensive about using it and stuff like that. And then I was doing, in anticipation of doing the Fringe, I was doing a bunch of Fringe festivals across the country, and I was like, oh, I'll just keep my profile on and, you know, see what happens and like talk to people when I'm out in these different places. And when I did Denver, it wasn't the Airbnb I stayed in, but the other Airbnb that I had reached out to, mm-hmm. the couple that I had been talking with matched with me on Field and was like, hey, so like, I think we matched on Airbnb. Or like, you try to stay at our place. Do you want to meet up? And I'm like, Well, no, but I do have a show that you could come to. Maybe we could hang out and there, like, get, you know, get some tickets. I'll let you in for free. And then, you know, we'll see where the night goes.
Yeah.
They did not come. But I was like, oh, this might be a, like, you know, get those couples to come to the shows and then be like, oh, I'm just too busy. I can't hang out with you now. That was such a weird interaction.
Oh my God. That's so funny. That reminds me of someone that used to tour with me for Awkward Sex would use Grindr. And be like, if we had like low ticket sales, he'd be like, just get on the Grindr and be like, you should come to the show. You should come to the show. And it worked until I think he finally got flagged. Cause I guess you can't do that where you can't like spam people.
Right.
I don't think anyone came. I can't remember, but it was like, cause he was like, yeah, have someone come to the show. And also I might get laid. How great. And I was like, I love that.
Yeah. It balances out. It works out perfectly.
Oh man. Oh, the apps. It feels like I always feel so old being like, yes, the applications. I know nothing about them anymore. Because, yeah, I think we got rid of ours pretty quickly. And I was going to ask you, like, how did you guys pivot from just kind of dating, you're now partner, dating to like relationship? Like, I remember because when I met Aaron, I was definitely in what I call like my year of dick. Like I was just like, I need to have like all these hookups, and it was great. And it was very honest and mutual, like of like, we're not looking for anything else. So I remember I like started like kind of, you know, dating him, and I was getting messages from other guys being like, hey, like, do you want to hang out? Do you want to hook up? And I was like, no, I don't think I can. Like, I think I might be in a relationship. And like, that's kind of how we had the conversation. I was just kind of like, we were kind of like semi long distance at this point, because I was like working in Connecticut for the summer. And I just remember texting him being like, hey, just FYI, like, a guy wanted to like hook up, but I was like, nah, I think I might be dating you. And he was like, oh, yeah, same. Like, I also just kind of like turned down someone. So I was like, okay, so like, you're my boyfriend then. He was like, yeah. And like, that was it. It was like,
right.
Yeah. And this is how we go forward now.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that that's a very adult and healthy way of going about it. I think that ultimately, we ultimately had a conversation. it was around the time the stuff came out about John Mulaney and Olivia Munn.
Oh,
And so we started using a shorthand of, hey, don't Olivia Munn me. And like, not fair to Olivia Munn, you know, so we would do that. And so we, like, kind of talking around it and not, you know, being uncomfortable with like the saying of like, oh yeah, don't hook up with anybody else or anything like that. But like, ultimately I think I felt, and I would presume that they felt as well, of like, oh yeah, I don't really have that draw to hook up with somebody. And so I think that, you know, just trying to be more secure in it. And so we would, you know, I believe when we were like walking the dogs one day, where I'm like, hey, you know, we had a conversation just to kind of clarify that. And then, you know, being like, oh yeah, like, yes, I don't want you to hook up with other people if you're out of town or if anything's going on. I'm like, oh yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. But since it was kind of unclear, you know, at least in the like the initial stages, I'm like, yeah, I'm not really sure. And so like my friends would ask me like, oh, what's going on? I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm not supposed to do that. And they're like, you should know. And I'm like, yeah, but like, I don't feel like doing it. So like, if they do it, you know, we'll talk about it and like, we'll figure it out and like, we'll set the parameters then. And then it's like, oh no, we've just mutually agreed upon it without directly stating it, if that makes sense. And then a couple months ago, I had a dream where, and I made a video about it. But I had a dream where I met John Mulaney and started hanging out with him. And he, like, through the dream was like, hey, I know what you and your partner are saying, you know, that shorthand you use about cheating. Please stop doing it. It's really hurtful to our friendship and our relationship. And I'm like, I'm so sorry, dream John Mulaney. I'll stop doing
Mulaney.
It. Yeah. And so then I woke up and I'm like, hey, we need to have a serious conversation. Like, and like, like, my partner's like, what do you mean? Like, you just woke up. Like, did you do something? And I'm like, yeah. So like, and leading into it, I'm like, yeah, it's about us talking about Olivia Munning. They're like, oh my God, he's, you know, he's cheated on me. He's done these things. And I'm like, yeah, no. So I had this dream where John Mulaney felt really bad. And like, I feel guilty about doing that. Can we just have a clear communication if we shouldn't hook up with people? And they're like, yeah, learn to facilitate this conversation less stressfully. But yes, we can do that.
I know. If my husband woke up and was like, we need to talk, my heart would just fall out of my asshole. Like, I'd be like, what the fuck happened? Especially because I assume the worst is like, it's a worst case scenario. So, oh my God, I would have vomited everywhere. I would have diarrheaed all in the bed.
Yeah.
If that happened.
Yeah. So I'm not, you know, my communication skills, you know, are perpetually improving, is what I like to say. They, you know, they're not the best, but they improve steadily as time progresses.
And I think that's just all it needs to be. Like, if I look back, so me and Aaron, it'll be 9 years in April.
Oh, wow.
And if
that's
I look,
great.
Thank you. And if I look back at like year one, year two, oh my God, like so much was left unsaid that was probably like annoying me or annoying him. And then even like, I think what really, really upped our communication game was COVID, because I have OCD. And so it became so bad at a point during COVID, because we stayed in the city, like my OCD, that it was like, I had to over communicate and he had to be able to communicate with me of like, this is your OCD talking and you have to trust me, like that I'm not trying to like attack you or like make this harder. And I think also just being in an apartment together and having to learn, we really had to learn like what each other really needed to feel safe and to feel whole. And the amount of communication that went into that, I think really changed the game. But even like now, like 9 years in, there's still times where it's like, oh, did I communicate that well? Or like, how can we do this better? And it is just like you said, it's just a mutual, it gradually gets better. Cause there is a lot of like, I don't want to say like there's a lot of mistakes that are going to be made, but just like a lot of like, oh, that could have just been said better. Or that could have been done better. And then you both are like, yeah, and then we'll do better. Because that's all that matters. It's like, are we doing the best that we can for each other in this situation?
Absolutely. And just clarifying, you know, the miscommunications, the assumptions that you have, and being like, oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. This is why I've been doing this. Oh, well, this is why I've been doing this. And it's like, oh, we've gifted the Magi to us, each other, multiple times every day. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, cool. Or, you know, yeah. And just, you know, figuring out like, okay, yeah, you can just ask me to do something, you know, I can do it. Or if something's stressing you out, just, you know, feel free to ask. And, you know, I've been, you know, guilty of it in, you know, past relationships of not, you know, asking direct questions of people. And it's just like, oh, this is, and it, when it works out and when it happens, it's the best feeling.
Mm-hmm. It's the best feeling. Absolutely. Yeah. It is, especially like, cause you guys, you all live together too. So like, that was a big one too, of learning to communicate with these new, this new dynamic of like, now you share the space. What does this look like? What do you need by yourself? What do you need together? What changes? What doesn't change? Like, I definitely feel like we had a couple. Oh, a big one for us was putting the toilet seat down after going to the bathroom. And I remember, because when we did not live together, I never said anything at his apartment, because I was like, it's your apartment, it's your rules. Right. I'm not going to say shit. So when we started moving together, or like when we moved in together, I was like, dude, like I need you to close, like you got to put it down. And it was one of our hardest conversations, because he was like, I just thought you were cool with it. I thought you were a cool girl that I didn't have to worry about that with. And I was like, turns out I'm not. Like, and he was like, why didn't you say anything before? I was like, because it wasn't my fucking apartment. Like, I'm not going to come in and like impose rules in your own apartment. Honestly, and also wasn't this mean when we talk to each other. I feel like anytime I like replay our conversations, it's not like that. And then you get to a point too where you maybe did something douchey or like something to kind of be mean. And then you talk about the next day and you just openly admit like, yeah, that wasn't okay that I did that, or I wasn't okay that I said that. I was taking it out on you and I'm really sorry. You know, like having that like type of communication too, of like, you're allowed. I literally just talked about this in the last podcast of like, you're allowed to feel human and you don't have to be perfect, including with communication. And that's part of the communication.
Right. Absolutely. And just being like, yeah, I was not at my best. We talked earlier, and you know, I've had instances. I had a relationship some time ago, and you know, this kind of we had different argument styles, and I was very young. We both of us were very young, and so like we were just not. In hindsight, we were not really compatible. Like we would have been good friends and like been able to hang out really well, but we both were very people pleasy and, you know, not willing to have direct conversations about wants and needs. Mm-hmm. And so eventually, you know, and that was most prevalent in our argument styles. And so like their argument style was like very heated and, you know, got to a point where it was like, oh, you know, you're going to say things you don't actually mean and, you know, be, you know, kind of, you know, hurtful, you know, I would say. And so then I was like, oh, well, you know, what I learned is that, you know, when you are getting angry and you're getting to a point where you're going to say something you don't actually mean, you separate, you calm down, you think about what the underpinnings of why you're angry or why you're frustrated are. And then you come back together and you have, you know, a conversation about it. And then, you know, you can figure it out. And so that to them was interpreted as like, oh, you're avoiding and you're like, you're not engaging with me. And so it was just like, you know, diametrically opposed. And so like, as time went on, it was like, oh yeah, you just got to find somebody with a similar argument style to you that like understands. And then if they don't understand, you now know, you know, through therapy and everything of like, this is how I approach these situations because I don't want to get to a point where I do something or say something, you know, like, you know, I don't want to go in and slam a door or, you know, break a dish or something like that. You know what I mean? I want to, you know, calm down and be like, okay, these are where my emotions are. And, yeah, so that's, you know, all with time, even if it's not with the same person.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the moment that I learn like an argument with your partner or even like a friend or family isn't to win, it's to mutually move together, like to find this middle ground and move together is what it's about. And I think, you know, I've definitely seen in the past in myself or like in other people that I'm like, oh, this probably isn't the best way for them to communicate. And like, I don't know why I'm judging other people's communications, like, but that it's not to win. But I think there's so many times where it feels like that's what it's about. And it's like, no, the moment you can let go of that, the moment the relationship changes so much of like, you're in this together.
100%.
Even when you're pissed off at each other.
Absolutely. Yeah. The metaphor, simile that comes to mind is that like, you're in a boat together, you know what I mean? And there's a hole in the boat and you're both have a way of fixing it. And, you know, you're blaming one another for causing the hole in the boat, but it's like, if you are yelling at one another, if you're frustrated with one another, you're not going to resolve the hole in the boat. So the boat can't go any further and it's just going to take on water and it's going to get weighed down and you're going to get more stressed out. Mm-hmm. And so like being able to like communicate and be like, yes, I understand that you put a hole in the boat because for whatever reason, and being able to, you know, patch that up, is, you know, really useful and effective, skill to have.
Absolutely. Yeah. But I think that's such a great place to stop too, of like, that's just, it's such a good tool to have. But I do always like to ask my guests, like, is there anything that we did not talk about that you'd like to talk about?
Yeah, no, not too much. Are plenty of stupid things I did while dating, but I think we covered a fair number of them. but yeah, so yeah, this has been a delight.
Oh, great. I'm so glad. Thank you guys so much for listening. We will be back in 2 weeks. Remember to go download Mansplaining, or if you're in New York City, go see No Bones About It. It starts April 8th at Under St. Mark's. And have a great couple of weeks. That's what my therapist always says, because we are every other week because I pay out of pocket.
shout out to my therapist. But I hope you have a great couple weeks, and we will talk soon.